Oh, lift your voice. Welcome to your announcements. Lindsay, I believe... summer is just about here. I've got the sunglasses, you've got your bucket hat out, the weather's getting hotter. I think we're pretty much ready for summer.
Or are we?
Oh, I don't know. Are we missing something?
Have you seen this sign, Kim?
I have seen this sign as I have walked by the children's check-in desk at our Wilkinson Road campus.
Summer nursery. So I think the reality is we always need some extra volunteers.
We do.
When it comes to the summer. Yeah.
Yeah. During the summer months, a lot of our regular volunteers are heading out on vacations and taking different times off. And so we always need some extra people to kind of jump in and help out, especially for those summer months.
Yeah. And we were just chatting before we started filming. There's probably on any given week, probably 50 to 60 volunteers needed, even during the summer, even when things are a little bit slower. So, yeah, if you kids.
Yeah, definitely kidsmen, nursery. Kids.
Tech.
We've got sound, we've got video, we've got live stream, we've got the band.
Yeah. Grounds, both campuses, right? Like these are both campus things.
Yeah. Those lawns don't mow themselves.
No, they don't. Gardening, right? Gardening. All of those kinds of. Listen, there's just lots of opportunity.
Yeah.
And so we'd love it if you'd be interested in checking it out, maybe just giving us a call or an email.
Yeah.
We'll have that email address there and we can just chat with you a little bit.
You get the idea.
Out and help out in some way and get a taste for what serving in different areas of SPC is like.
Absolutely.
So in case we've missed any of the cool places that you could serve in, whether on a Sunday or during the week, Matt, roll credits.
Nice. Came through at the end there. If you're able to, I invite you to stand. It's kind of like the, what's it called? Like the Sesame Street or like the PBS, like call to action thing, where if you would like this quality programming to continue, we need your support. And, you know, it's like, this is a really awesome, you know, place. We get to do really, really, you know, great ministries and things like that. But yeah, we are definitely dependent on volunteers to make that happen. And so encourage you to kind of find a spot you feel like you might be a good fit and just pursue that. It's a really great way, I find, to like actually get connected with the, you know, church community. It's one of those things where, like, with bigger churches, it's easy to just kind of show up on a Sunday and then go and then feel like, maybe I don't, you know, feel like I'm not connecting with people really well. If you get involved in a ministry, definitely, like, that's kind of a place where you'll find just deeper friendships for sure. Yeah, so as we just continue, let's continue and just prepare our hearts with our call to worship. So as we gather, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are worshiping on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen peoples. And reading our call to worship from Psalm 118. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Amen. Yeah, let's worship together. Come let us worship.
Come let us worship our King.
Come let us bow at his feet.
Come let us bow at his feet.
He has done
great things.
See what our Savior has done.
See what our Savior has
done. See how his love overcomes.
See how his love overcomes.
He has done great things.
He has done great things.
Oh, hero of heaven.
Oh, hero of heaven. You conquered the grave. You free every cap and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance, you're free. Awaken the light. Oh, Jesus, our Savior. Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Yeah. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. For you have done great things. I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. Oh God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every cap and break every chain. Great things. We dance, you're free, awaken the light. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah. more time. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, God, above it all.
Come thou fount,
come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain, fix upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when a stranger, running from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. And oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. things have passed away, but your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. And things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one now our hearts adore. And the hopeless have found, the hopeless have found now have a home. Was lost, has found its place in you. You lift our weary head, and you make us strong instead. Took these rags and you made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. How we love you. You are the one now our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of, sing, our affection. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one now our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. the one now our hearts adore.
Yeah, so Father God, we thank you, God, and we sing just our affection, our devotion to you, God. We thank you just for the gift that it is for us to be able to meet and gather together. God, I pray just as we hear and receive your word today that we would take it seriously. God, that we would just wouldn't take for granted the fact that we are able to just hear your word. God, and I pray that our hearts would be humble enough to be changed by it, God. You are good. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take a seat, and kids, you are dismissed. You can go to the back and see Shyla. Yeah. And hopefully the video works.
Good morning. It is nice to be with all of you. Have you guys ever noticed when you're reading through your Bibles how often sheep are talked about? This is probably not a fact that you needed to know, but sheep are the number one animal that is talked about in the Bible. And Jesus talks about sheep a lot, and when he does, especially in his parables, usually he's talking about people. He's comparing people to sheep, and specifically his disciples. So if you remember, after Jesus has risen from the dead, he has this beautiful conversation with Peter, and he says, you know, care for my sheep. Or he has those parables where he talks about the kingdom of God and separating the sheep from the goats, or leaving the 99 behind to go after the one. And sheep fit really well in these stories, or like comparing people to sheep work well because a few things. First, sheep are quite needy. They need a shepherd to lead them, to care for them. They're also, sheep are really good at recognizing voices, so they recognize the voice of the shepherd. One thing I hadn't thought about before, but sheep are not created to carry burdens. You never see somebody strapping a load to the back of a sheep, right? Sheep are valuable too. It's not always bad. Sheep are valuable, right? They provide wool and meat and milk. Like, there's lots of stuff that are great about sheep. But probably the most humbling part about a sheep when you think about Jesus comparing us to sheep is that they're not the smartest animals. We know this. And this has very little to do with my sermon, but there's a video that has been on the internet for a few years that just every time it makes me laugh, and especially when you think about it, like Jesus comparing us to sheep. So before we get into the rest of what we're going to talk about today, we'll see if this video works. So you got this poor sheep stuck in a ditch. He's out. Freedom. Woo! And I can think of all the times I've done that very same thing in my life. Jesus has freed me, and I go right back into it. Anyway, before we get into everything else, let me just pray. Yeah, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is full of truth, and in the middle of it is full of humor, but that it is something that we can return to over and over again and hear your words for us today, that they matter today. So, God, I pray that that will just be what we experience this morning as we open your word, as we read the things that you declared about yourself, Jesus. I pray that it won't just fill our minds with more knowledge and understanding, but it will transform us, that your spirit will be working and transforming us this morning. And so I give it to you. May you be present, may you be working this morning. And anything else that is here that wishes to distract or, keep us from just being in your presence and listening to you, may that just disappear. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are going through this series, the I Am series, looking at those statements that Jesus made about who he was. And today we're going to be looking at John chapter 10. So let me just read, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, when he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all he owns, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. And those poor Pharisees, they're always a little bit behind. But what about you? Did you understand that? If you were the one telling this parable or the figure of speech, as Jesus said, and someone that you were telling this story to went, "I don't know, I don't get what you're talking about," how would you explain this to them? If you're like me, I would probably start by breaking down like what each character, what they represent, right? We got the sheep. Those are probably followers of Jesus. And then the shepherd, that's Jesus, obviously. Thieves and robbers, Pharisees, right? They're always the bad guys in the story. The gatekeeper, I don't know. So we'll just like skip that. And then we have this pretty neat story, right? It all fits together. So let's see what Jesus says. In verse 7, it says, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep.'" Did that mess with you? Maybe you weren't thinking closely enough, but I thought that Jesus was going to go, "I'm the good shepherd," right? That fits with the story. And just a few verses down, Jesus does call himself the good shepherd, but he decides, and I trust that it's for a purpose, he decides to take this little detour and give a short parable about being the gate. So he says, "I am the gate." And that's what we're going to be exploring this morning. What does he mean by that, and what purpose does that have? Luckily for us, while we don't live in like first century Palestine, we understand the purpose of a gate. I don't think it's changed that much over the last couple thousand years. A gate has a pretty simple purpose. It has two jobs: to open and to close. Right? A gate closes and it provides security. It provides protection for those inside. It keeps those outside from coming in. And then when you think about a sheep pen, it keeps those that are inside, the sheep, from getting out. And then it opens. The gate isn't supposed to just keep things inside. It opens and offers freedom. And so when you think about why Jesus would call himself not only the good shepherd, but also the gate, I think that's the reason. He's declaring that he's the one who saves and protects, but he's also the one who offers freedom. So those are the two things we're going to be looking at. Let's just start with that first one, that first claim that he is the one who protects. He closes and he protects. I was thinking about when I was growing up, my friend Fatima lived in the same neighborhood as me. And every Friday, my mom and I would walk from our house to her house, and the moms would have coffee, and Fatima and I would play. But in order to get to her house, we had to walk down this back alley. And there was a yard with a terrifying dog. And every week, we would have to walk by this house, and the dog would bark at us, he would show his teeth, and he would push up against the fence. And what was like made it so scary for me was that the fence was quite old and it would lean. And so every time this dog would bark and push up against the fence, I was certain that he was going to somehow get through and attack us, bite me. But, you know, week after week, walk after walk, that never happened. The fence stayed strong. And when I think back, I walked by like fearful every week. But I could have been confident, right? I could have walked up to that dog and gone like, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, you can't get me. I could have had confidence. But a fence, or if you relate it back to this parable, a gate, it only can serve its purpose if it's strong, right? A fence or a gate that if it's pushed on at all, if it's challenged at all, just falls apart or opens up. It's not accomplishing what it was created to do. And when we think about Jesus declaring that he is the gate, we're not talking about a gate that would have been on that fence in that back alley. It's not a gate that we would have to walk by every week going, is this gonna hold? He is a solid gate. There's no rotting wood or weak hinges on Jesus. He is solid. He is somebody that we can trust. And so we can stand at that gate and say, na 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 boo boo, you can't get me. And we can point at all those things that we fear most, trusting that he is strong. There's no enemy or thief or predator that can get us with Jesus as our gate. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 31 and verse 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? I feel like that holds some of the na-na-na-na-boo-boo energy, right? But do you ever find that statement hard to believe? If God is for us, who can be against us? Because life is hard. And sometimes we can feel quite exposed. That gate doesn't always feel like it's given us the protection we need. We can feel vulnerable. We can feel attacked. We can also feel like we're wandering. And it feels like the things that are against us can be pretty strong. Let me continue through Romans 8. I'm going to jump down to verse 35. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so being a follower of Jesus, it doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy, that we're going to be protected from all things. Probably it means that there's a guarantee we're going to face hardships. But what it does mean is that we can have complete confidence that there is absolutely nothing greater than our God. Right? We can be confident that his presence and his love, it can never be taken away from us, that nothing can separate us from him, that nothing we can do and nothing that's done to us. And so in the midst of the most difficult seasons, we can still find that protection, that salvation from the gate. We can still have peace. And it's not because we are strong. It's not because we can defend ourselves. Remember, we're the sheep. But it's because the gate is so solid and so strong. And so I think before I continue, I just want us to pause here to stop and just spend some time considering this idea, because this kind of message is really easy to accept when life is going well. But when life is hard, this is when we have to realize that it takes a bit of faith to truly believe that if God is for us, who can stand against us? So consider for yourself, are there areas in your life that you're living in fear? You're not certain that that gate will hold, that Jesus is strong enough for what you are facing. Let me read Jesus' words. He says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." And this isn't the kind of saved like, oh, you got a ticket to heaven. This is the saved where there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So what would it look like for you to rest in that truth, to be still and know that he is God? Let's just take a couple moments and reflect on that truth. Now, Jesus declaring that he is the gate also means that he is the way to freedom, right? A gate just doesn't close, it opens. And any gate, if it's doing what it's designed to do, will open to let the people or the animals out. But in this context, in the context of this parable, there's something special about the gate opening. We read it in verse 2. It said that the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So that means that the gate's just not the way out of the pen, but it's, so it's not just like freedom, the gate open, freedom, but it's the trustworthy way to freedom. Because the shepherd comes, or when the gate opens, it means that the shepherd is there, and the shepherd comes, he enters into the sheep pen, and then there's this really sweet picture of mutual recognition. It said that the shepherd calls the sheep by name. And then the sheep recognize his voice. Isn't that just like the sweetest thing? He knows our name and we recognize his voice. And it's this like really personal invitation to like come through the gate. And then on the other side of the gate is good pasture, right? This is good for the sheep. It's freedom, but not just freedom from the constraints of an enclosure, from the pen. It's like true freedom, because the sheep get to go and wander and nibble on the grass, but the whole time, the shepherd's there, and he's looking out for them. That's what true freedom looks like, where you can go and be free, but you're not having to look over your shoulder the whole time. You are completely free. Now, Jesus presents an alternative way, right? There's another way to get in and out of the pen, and it's those who don't go through the gate. And he says, those are thieves and robbers. And he repeats it again in this little picture, the little parable of him being the gate. So let me read Jesus' full parable, starting in verse 7. So therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. There's just no competition there, right? We will always choose life to the full over theft and death and destruction. So if that's really the case, if that's what Jesus came to do, if that's what he's offering, why does anybody choose anything else? It seems so obvious. And I think it actually comes down to the gate. What I mean by that is that the reason that we don't fully embrace or experience this full life that Jesus says he's coming to bring is because there is a specific way, there's a specific path to receiving this kind of full life. Because when you think about the sheep, they don't get to decide when they leave the pen. They don't even get to decide how they leave the pen. There is just one opening. And so the way through is through Jesus, and it's a way of surrender. It's giving up our rights to decide and saying, no, not my will be done, but yours. And this may not go against sheep nature, but it for sure goes against human nature. I was visiting a friend recently and her two little ones. Her eldest is a year and a half. And I, throughout the time that I was with her, I would multiple times witness her trying to feed her son. And so she would, you know, take a little bit of food on the spoon and bring the spoon up to his lips, expecting him to open his mouth so he would eat. And quite a few times, he would purse his lips and just look up at her and refuse to open his mouth. And it wasn't that he wasn't hungry or that he didn't like the food. I think it was just that he didn't like to be told what to do. And it wasn't a pleasant experience. Like, it wasn't fun for him, but there was something inside of him that was like, I will not bend to my mother's will. That's what I need to do in this moment. And so it starts that young, a year and a half. And I don't know if we ever grow out of it. None of us, regardless of our age, enjoys being told what to do. And we will put up with a lot in order to kind of keep that sense of autonomy. And so Jesus says in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And so this way to freedom, it's open to everybody, right? Whoever enters through me will be saved. But there is only one way. It's only through Jesus. And Jesus says also in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And so this wide road, as it says here, or like the way of the thieves and the robbers, it may seem to offer this other option, another way out. But both of them only lead to destruction. One thing that I think is important to notice, though, is that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the guys who think that the way to God is through following a bunch of rules. They take seriously the law that God gave to Moses, and then they extend it. And following all of those rules is a lot of work. So I don't think that that wide road or the way of the thieves and the robbers is always an easier road to take. And I don't think it necessarily has to be evil, but any other way other than the way of Jesus, other than walking through that gate, leads to destruction. It is only through the gate that we can find life and life to the full. And so this declaration, Jesus saying, "I am the gate," is amazing news for the world. Life and life to the full is such good news for the world. But it requires surrender. It requires something from us, and it is laying down our will and saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." And sometimes I think, especially when we use words like saved, I think we can think that that's just the moment, right? That moment of conversion. Oh yeah, I surrendered my will to his. I've gone through Jesus, there's salvation, and there's power in that moment. But it's more than that. This is a daily decision, right? The sheep don't just go out once. This is in and out. We have to choose every day to surrender to the way of Jesus, the way that leads to true life. So what does that mean for you this week? When Jesus says, "I am the gate," what does that mean for you right now? Are there things right now that you are holding on to and you go, "I can't release control of this. It's way too important to wait on the shepherd to open the gate. Oh, I can't do that. To have to funnel through this one way. No, I have to have it my way. I can't let this go." Or maybe just like the whole idea, it's uncomfortable for you. The idea that there is only one way feels way too restrictive. Or maybe to extend the metaphor a little bit, the pen feels pretty safe. When the shepherd comes and opens the gate, why bother going out and experiencing that freedom? We can just set everything up in here and be comfortable. Wherever you are at, however this declaration that Jesus made, "I am the gate," lands for you today, my prayer is that we can trust it. That we can trust that, first of all, Jesus is solid and can be trusted. He is the solid gate. But that we can also trust that on the other side of surrender, is freedom. That when we choose to walk through that gate that has been opened for us, that's when we can experience that life and life to the full. So let me pray for you all. Yeah, Jesus, I thank you for how clearly you expressed your purpose in coming. You have come to give us life and life to the full. Oh, I just pray that we would believe that, that that is your heart, that following you isn't supposed to just be, oh, the pain, the struggle to just do what we're supposed to do, but following you actually leads to the true freedom, where we can go and experience all of life but not be fearful and looking over our shoulders, but that the Good Shepherd is there to care for us, to protect us. And God, you know our hearts. You know how hard it is to surrender, to give up our rights, to take steps forward in faith, not knowing how things are going to end up, but just trusting your goodness and your faithfulness and the fact that you lead. But God, we know that any other way, as maybe enticing as it is, any other way leads to death and destruction. And so, God, I pray that today, that tomorrow, that the rest of this week, we will choose to wait until that trustworthy way is opened, that we will walk in and out through you, that we will find abundant life in you, that we will be able to have peace and rest even when there are things that cause us fear, or that we will can have that attitude of na 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 poo poo, not because we're so strong, but because you are. I thank you for the richness of these stories, that they can be carried on for thousands of years and still impact us today. And so I pray that, you'll just be continuing to speak through this story, speak through the words that you shared 2,000 years ago. I pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Able to invite you to stand just as we sing this song in response. And while we're singing, we'll be continuing our worship just through the giving of our tithes and offerings as well.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken. The cross is spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Sealed the promise Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Let's sing that out. Then came the morning. Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. I don't know what place you're at this morning, if that was something you could sing with just great assurance and confidence. Or maybe life is taking its toll right now, and there's some things that, dare we say, you're a little fearful about. And that's actually an okay place to get to, because that means that God can actually meet you. When we just try to boldly go and strongly in our own strength do all this bravado stuff, and I've got this, man, God can't meet us. So there's going to be some people up front here who would just love to stand with you and pray with you. You do not have to go through whatever it is, the uncertainty, the fear, the struggle, the control issues, on your own. Know that there's people here who would love to go with you, to pray with you, to call up for the living hope to meet you in the midst of it all. So we're going to dismiss you in just a moment. And man, I just encourage you, if you need prayer, maybe it's someone right beside you who could just pray for you. That'd be awesome. Or if you'd like, please come on forward, and we'd love to pray for you. The words from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23 are our words of benediction this morning. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened the new life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place, God's presence. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God bless you. go in his peace and his presence.